How many of you would call yourself a Christian today? How many of you would not call yourself a Christian today? Okay. Who of you will never lift your hand up no matter what I ask? I trust that you're going to grow a little bit this morning. This is going to be something slightly different. I love to teach the word. I love to preach. But today, I felt, even last week when we were here, just chatting to some of the people here in Azefontein, in this church, it was interesting that I noted that there's a lot of people in this town who do not belong to a church. Is that true? Okay, so I'm telling you, as someone from Melkbos, there's a lot of people in your town that don't go to church or don't belong to a church. And I felt like I want to come and do a little bit of equipping and a bit of teaching so that you can leave this place kind of like, okay, I'm ready. How many of you are ready for that? Okay? So that, like, put a couple more tools in your toolbox that as Christians, as we meet people, we kind of know how to help them. Is that good? All right. So the Bible clearly says, man, for me, this is how I was discipled. Got saved, became part of a church. There wasn't even like, that was just how I was discipled. Okay? And for those who don't know my story, I'll just tell you a little bit. So I got saved 1991. Some of you were not born then, but yeah. I'll save you the maths. I'm 52. All right. So, and got saved in Durban. Yeah, just a fantastic church. I was very well discipled. I had the privilege of spending half a day with my pastor for 6 months. How many of you know, like, talk about a blessing. I know what it means to be very well discipled. So, yeah, served God, went and did my army year in Bloemfontein, where I met my beautiful wife. How many of you know all the pretty girls are from Bloemfontein? Is it right? Are you from Bloemfontein? Yeah, you also? No. My dad always used to say, John, and with my other brothers, we five, marry an Afrikaans chick, they're the best. So I was the only one who obeyed my dad, and today we married 31 years, and I've been involved in two churches in my whole life. And I tell you that because I think the devil wants to divide us as believers. And I want to ask you, as a Christian this morning, never speak out against another church. Please don't do that. They might be limited in some of their theology or some of their revelation, but so were you at one stage. Are you with me? This town needs all churches to unite. And what we need is we need to trust God that all, I'm going to please use this word very loosely. Please don't get offended. But all homeless Christians need a home. Is it? Okay. And that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. So coming back to my story, 2017, October the 26th. 7th or 29th, I forget the day, my brother committed suicide. Finding his body changed my life. Over the 30 years that we've been saved and in ministry, I've taken a gun out of people's hand. I've had to come in between two people that are trying to kill each other with knives. I've had to pull someone from jumping off a building. I've done a lot of that. I've seen people die in my presence, praying with them, and they said they want to go to Jesus. I've seen a lot, okay? I've walked with prostitutes who do not want to do what they do, but they're doing it to get money, and then we discipled them while they were prostitutes, try and work that out, but this is God. God tells a prophet in the Old Testament, go and marry a prostitute, hello? He uses people like that, and now today she's serving Jesus. We've been through a lot. We've helped druggies. I've helped some Satanists come to the light, fortunately. And I say that for a reason. So we were in church. And when my brother committed suicide, something happened. I do not understand it, but my whole world was rocked. Okay? When it's your own brother, and he has one little thing that you got to pray for me, I'm still struggling with that. The day before he committed suicide, he tried to phone me. And I always used to take his call. But on that day, I felt like, no, I don't want to take his call. And then the next day, he committed suicide. So I like still like, you just pray for me. I'm not demon-possessed or anything, but that's one little thing. Maybe it's something that will never leave me. I don't know. Anyway, finding his body, it changed my whole life. And cut a long story short, I think at the time, I just got so disillusioned. I was in the ministry full-time as a pastor in Josh Jane, but I left. Lock, stock, and barrel. I just said, cheers, I'm out of here. Okay, and I went to go and work in a secular job as a salesman. There God used me. We helped to double this guy's business in 14 months. So God's gifted me with a bit of sales and marketing, etc. But in that time, there were 4 years that we were out of Josh Jen. We so missed our friends. I can't tell you. But deep down inside, I kind of like, God, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I believe one day I'll be back in full-time ministry. But God also used that time to heal me. And I'm sharing this with you because there are some people that you know in this town that might be hurt, like I was. Disillusioned. Ja, maar al die kerke is so, hulle soek net my geld. Just, they've all got reasons. They've all got things they say. And I'm going to help you today. How do we walk with people like that? All right? Are you ready to be equipped this morning? Okay? I want you right now to take out your phone. Go to the little, I've got a little thing where I can actually send myself a WhatsApp message. Have you all got that? Or make a note. Just, I'm asking you to take your phone out. Don't check your messages. Don't check Facebook. Make notes. Here's what I want you to do. While I'm preaching and while I'm ministering, I want you to think of people in this town that are not in a church. You can start filling in their names on your phone. Wie van julle het nou nie julle foon gebring nie? Well done, meneer. Or write them down, okay? Here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a little list, and you're going to pray. You say, God, show me those people who need a family. Sometimes there's a time, like where they write, and sometimes there's not. But in all of that, you still keep in contact. Coming back to my story, we came back. I heard Andrew was going to America. And I thought, now him and I, we were just texting each other over the years. And I thought, man, I'm going to go and just have coffee with Andrew and wish him well. Anyway, there we meet at News Cafe last year, just before Easter. It was March the 31st. And 5 minutes into our coffee, picture this, two grown men crying over a table. We had lots of people looking around us looking, and we were reconciling our hearts to one another. Andrew, who started Josh Jen. And Andrew just said to me, John, why don't you come back? And I said, absolutely. It was the last thing I planned. But Andrew extended that heart and said, but I know what you've been through. And I think there's things we've done wrong, he said. And there's things that you've done wrong, me. So there was both sides. It's never really one side that's totally innocent and another side that's totally... And we just started chatting about some of the things in the past. We had another meeting with some of the pastors who were involved in that, and we all repented. I had to vent, and then I forgave them. They did the same. Unfortunately, when I'd left, some of the people also left, because it's kind of like if John's leaving, then we're also leaving. And I apologize to the church. I try to go back to those people, and some of them have come back. And so I'm saying that because something happens in your heart when God puts you in a church. Watch this now. And if we're not careful, we allow the things that happen to us to pull us away from church. Okay? So just like Andrew sat with me, and he extended, and he says, come back, John. I'm asking you, think of the people in this town today that you're going to say, man, I'm going to go and invite those people for a meal. I'm going to have a coffee with them. Is that okay? First scripture, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. So if you want a title of the message, it's this, staying connected, all right? 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, stay alert. Tell the person next to you, stay alert. Tell the person on the other side of you, stay alert. Okay, in Afrikaans, what is that? What's said in the Afrikaans Bible? Wees wakker. That's so cool, eh? Yeah, there's some Afrikaans words that are just, you can't get the English for it. Wakker is like one of those, yeah, it's like braai. Let's have a barbie. No, let's have a braai, you know? Okay, blay or wees wakker, all right? Here's why. I love, this is a New Living Translation. Watch out, your great enemy, and I wouldn't say he's great, I think he's experienced. Satan, he's experienced. He's been around longer than all of us put together. He knows how to get to people, okay? He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, okay? So where's the youngest child here? Who's the youngest child? Hey? behind the curtain. Yevon's 3 turning 4. There we go. Okay, what's the child's name, please? Marley. Okay, just show us Marley again, like Lion King. This is Lion King. Watch, watch. Marley. Here we go. And Marley. Yay! Okay. Marley, watch this, was born into this world. She needs to be fed, looked after. Am I right? She needs a family. She needs to be loved. The exact same thing happens with us when we get saved. The best thing we can do is tell people through the scripture, look, this is God's will for your life. Belong. Be part of a church. Be part of a family. Is that right? Okay. I'm setting you up for something. But when we sit with people, use the scripture. Write it down. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 in your translation. Tell people, it's the enemy's plan to isolate you. How many of you enjoy National Geographic and all those cats and, wow, you know? And I never figured watching a whole series of that guy who befriended lions. Big lion. No, stepping away, whatever his name was. Anyway, this guy took, I don't know how many months, but he tried to befriend a pack of lions. And eventually he got so close that even the cameramen were like saying, dude, your life is in danger. But he was trying to prove a point that as wild as what lions are, they can actually be befriended. But what I didn't know was this. Lionesses, who do the majority of the hunting, what do? They'll look at a pack of wildebeest, and they'll look for the smallest, weakest, preferably one that's limping behind. Watch this. For the wildebeest, their protection is in the pack. And 9 times out of 10, the lions see someone or a small little baby wildebeest, and you see them trying to keep up with the family. You're like, oh, but this is nature. And lunchtime it is for that lion. It's not by accident that Paul refers to the enemy like a lion. What's he going to do? He's going to look out for, like what we saw, little, what's her name? Marley. The enemy is going to look for a little Marley who's alone, who's isolated.
And niemand is lief für meine.
See the self-pity? We've got to be careful of that. People have got to belong to a family. And he's going to look for the little Marleys that are aside and pointing fingers and leave me alone. And if someone ever says to you, leave me alone, you look at them in your eyes and say, I can't. We family. I'm not going to leave you alone. All right? You got it? Let's go to the next scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14 to 21. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? Obviously, the answer is no. If the whole body were an eye, imagine what that would look like. I think we need some artist to just like make the whole body eyes. I mean, what would that look like? Can you see the exaggeration? Paul is using improbable. He's stating something that'll never happen. And that's how ridiculous it is. He says, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But your bodies have many parts. And God has put each of you just where he wants it. How strange a body it would be if it had only one part. Okay? What's the person next to you? What's a deal van die liggaam is jy? What? Some of you are saying, I'm the mouth. Are you the ear? Are you the hand? Can you get what I'm saying? Some of you might be the little toe or the pancreas or the liver. Okay, are you with me? You see the author saying we're all part of the body. And as you sit with people, take them to the scripture. Watch this. And wrestle with them in love. Say, my broer, you're part of the body. You can't be alone. You can't be, we don't when we come on a Sunday, ooh, look, there comes a foot. Yeah, there's an eye. No, it's one body. And the Bible, who's the head of the body? The head of the body is Jesus, and we are the parts. Can you see that you can't be a Christian I don't see this in Scripture. You cannot call yourself a Christian if you're not part of the body of Christ. It's impossible. Why? Because Jesus is the head and we're all parts of the body. Some of you are unseen. Some of you are invisible. Have you ever hurt yourself in one of those small little places? Like I remember a thorn once going into my small toe. And it was like for the next few days, that small little insignificant toe, all the attention was on my little toe. And it's the same in the church. Bring them in. Watch God heal on the job, in the family, in the group. Remember the wildebeest. The protection is in the pack, not out there alone. So you and I, we're going to meet people who are hurt. And we say to them, hey, I'm gonna have a coffee and a meal with you until God heals that heart. Are you with me? If they come, great. But at some stage, we must help them to integrate. And I've even sat with people and they've said, but John, I think I need to belong to that church. And I'll go and I'll visit that pastor and say, bro, this is one of your sheep. Let's make sure that they connect and they're in the body and they love and they're cared for and they're growing. You with me? We don't presume we're the best church. Please don't ever say that. I just there's something about humility. We don't have it all together. But I think we're doing it right. Look at you. We're a small little town like this. Okay? This is God's plan. And we need to tell people three things on the scripture. You must belong. We need to be interdependent, not independent. And lastly, there's a place for you to serve the body of Christ, the church. And I remember sitting with a guy, man, he was cross with every church. This and then this and then this. And eventually I looked at him and I don't want to say his name. I said, buddy, you need a new experience. He said, what do you mean? I said, you need a new experience. You need to open your heart and say, maybe there is a church out there. It's not perfect, but that I can belong. And I literally helped him to explore a few churches, and he ended up being in Josh Jen in Sunningdale. And here's why. Sometimes we need to tell people, hey, Mike, you need a new experience, bud. All right? Have you ever been poisoned by food, had food poisoning? Who of you have had that? It's not pleasant. Am I right? But that didn't stop you from eating. It didn't stop you from eating. Maybe for a day or two, yeah, but are you with me? And so we need to tell people, listen, no church has got it all together. I might hurt you, but watch this. You've got to realize that just because you've been hurt or been lied to or whatever, you need a new experience. You can't not be part of a church. That's why Paul writes to churches. Have you read at the end? He says, and greet Yanni, greet Sonny, greet George, greet Max. I'm using common names, but they're all mostly Greek names. Why? Because he had relationship with them. All those letters to the churches is there for us to learn. And so as you and I, we go through our scriptures, just show people the Bible. Say, hey, buddy, you have a gift. You've got something to contribute. You belong to a body. Let me help you. Does that help? Okay. Three things: belong, be interdependent, not independent, and serve. All right? How about this? Who of you have ever seen or watched a choir? I haven't, an orchestra. I haven't been live, but I've seen this time of the year during December. I know in Europe they've got those big kind of live concerts and stuff. Orchestra kind of setup is not my music taste, but it's interesting that all the musicians in an orchestra, they've each got their own little thing. Did you ever see that funny part of Mr. Bean? You know? And I remember watching one of those, and there was a guy with cymbals. And all he did three times during the song was go, tsh, and that was it. He's done his part. But Jesus is like the conductor. He tells you and I, okay, play your instrument at that point. Tsh, and there's practice, and there's a rehearsal. That's what Jesus does. He knows whether you're the toe or the eye or the arm or the liver, whatever. He asks us all to function, and he'll help you to function in your gift. And one of the things we can tell people is like, hey, man, you've got a gift. What do you mean? The Bible says it. We've all been given gifts, and help them to discover it and say, come, come, let's get hooked in and let's see how God uses your gift for people and for his kingdom. That's our message. All right? Last scripture. Are you ready? Ephesians 4. I'm not going to share long. I've got two people that are going to just share their testimony of how being connected has really been a blessing for them. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16 says, now this is, remember, Paul writing to what church? The church that is in? See, it's close. It's the Bible land. It's there, yeah. Yeah. The church that meets in Ephesus, okay? So if it was for us, it would say, to the church that meets in Asia Fontaine, and you kind of need to read all Paul's letters and saying, this is for me. If Paul wrote it to one of the churches, it's for me. I'm going to take what we can learn, okay? This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, instead, now when it says something instead, you kind of got to look back, but he speaks about being lost and independent and alone, which is wrong, and it's not helpful. It's not helping anyone, all right? But he says, instead, we will speak the truth in love. It's one of the things we do in a church. Am I right? Not turn or burn. You better or else. No. I sit with you and I wrestle your heart. And I sit with Mike. And he's like, yes, man, I don't know, man. It's this one lady in the church, she really grinds me, eh? And I'm sitting with him and I say, bro, you gotta walk in tenderness and gentleness. Why don't you try and love her? What do you mean love her? And I'm wrestling with him. Because the Bible says we must love those that we don't love. And if you ask God, he'll put a love in your heart. Now, what do you, don't understand. She offends me every time she speaks. Bro, you need to not be offended. See, I'm wrestling. Speaking the truth in love. And in all our ways and in all the ways that we disciple each other, it's in love. All right? Next thing, we grow in every way more and more like Christ. That's what we're aiming. We're not trying to be like another church. I'm praying, as Bobby shares his gifts and he gets involved, he's becoming more like Jesus. It's Marna, hey. As Marna shares her life, uses her gift, at times she's receiving it, other times she's growing, she's becoming more and more like Jesus. And so to you. Jesus is the one we're trying to be like. Okay, that's what it says there. Then Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Okay? I'll ask you again. Who of you see yourself as part of the body of Christ? Right? Doesn't matter what part, you're part of the body of Christ. Who's the head? Jesus. That's what Paul's writing here. You see, can you see? He doesn't say, I'm the head. No, Jesus is the head of the church. He's the one we want to be like. He says, as Christ makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Perfectly. And I want to say, man, you're going to meet all shapes and sizes and different people in the church. We've got to settle it. There might be some that you like a little more than others, and that's also fine. I remember saying to one guy, asking him to reach out to someone. He says, yes, John, I just don't really connect. I don't click with those people. Who of you have had that? Then I said to him, well, try. He says, no, man, what do we have in common? I said, bro, I want you to have them over for a meal and try. So he was like, okay. 3 weeks later, John, we have so much in common. Here's the thing, he didn't know. So you never know who you're going to have over for a meal and how much you maybe have in common or how much you're actually going to be friends. We were in Sunningdale and I had to help one of the communities multiply. They were so big and we prayed about the names. And I said to the one lady, I said, trust me, I really believe, you know, you need to be with this new home group leader. Ooh, John, I've built so many friendships. I said, trust me. Can I ask you to trust me? A month later, John, I just want to say thank you. I've made new friendships, and I found things out about people I thought I knew, but I didn't know them. And so she thanked me, and she apologized. Are you with me? And so this beautiful thing of the church is getting to know people that are different to you. You have them over for a meal. You never know what's going to come out of that. And then Paul writes, he says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. Guys, here's six things that I'm asking you to do. You ready? On your phone, write down. First one, just write this. Write these two words, beyond Sundays. What do I mean? What we're doing this morning is one of the meetings that we meet together, we gather. But it's not the only one. It shouldn't be, because the Bible says in Acts, they met in each other's homes and in the temple and from house to house. Okay, that's what we're doing. So when Mike and Tammy have Ernst and Frieda, was jylle, Ernst, for a meal, they're having church. Because church is ecclesia, it's where two or more are gathered, you're having church. Some of you are like, John, does that mean when we on the beachfront eating pizza, we're having church? Yeah. Sundays is a bit different. That's when we all get together. But you're going to have smaller meetings. And right there, Bible says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am. So when I'm having coffee with Rob, or when we walk on the beachfront, we're having church, man. And at any given time, I can minister to him, and he can do the same. And it's this thing of what I call spontaneous Christianity, not planned religion. Spontaneous, that's what God wants, spontaneous Christianity. So the first one is beyond Sundays. Our home groups, our communities, the prayer times. All of that is part of being the church and part of gathering. Okay, beyond Sundays. Second thing is this. Just put the word help. Now, this doesn't refer to the Beatles song, help, I need some. Sorry, I'm a muso and I love music, all right? But it's this, watch this. Help those who are either in the church but not really connected in terms of using their gifts and being a blessing, but also help those that are outside of this church, that are not in the church, but help them to find a church. And hopefully it's this church. And if it's not, that's also fine. But let's get people connected. All right? You got that? Help. Third one is this. Care. I want to say this. Can you just look around you? Is there someone who's not here today that you know of? Okay? Don't all shout their names out. But, you know, here's what you can do. If you don't know, don't say, where were you? We missed you. Why weren't you at church? No, that's not the right attitude. Here's what you always say. I missed you today. Are you okay? No, we're fine. We just did this or that. I said, fantastic. That's all. You never say why. You never say must. No. We say, I'd like you to make our Sundays a priority. That's how we grow. Why? Because you've got a gift to give. You've got something to contribute. And when someone's not here, all you say is, I missed you today. Are you okay? Now, some of you are going to get that message when you're not here. That's good. Why? Picture this. Who's got the biggest family here? How many children have you got? Show me your hands. How many children have you got? I've got two. Show me those who have got hands. Two, one, three. Three. Do we have four? No. Three. Okay, watch this. When you have a family meal and one of your children is not there, are they missed? It's exactly the same in the church. Now, I've got two children and they're both married. And we try to have like a weekly meal, whenever that is. But if one of them's not there, like you feel like, oh, where's Michael? We wish he was here. It's exactly the same in the church. But not with a heavy hand. You say, hey, man, we missed you this morning. All right? Put value on people. Tell them they missed and they loved. Fourth thing, invite. Just write the word invite. What are we saying there? Watch this. Invite people, listen, to your circle. Now, we've heard about that circle of trust. Remember that movie, Meet the Parents? Where the guy says, this is my circle of trust, and you are there. Okay? Man, listen, you probably have close friends. You probably have close friends, about 5 to 10 people. I'm asking for you to have more. I'm asking you, invite someone into your circle that you would never even think of, even if they're outside of this church. You'll be amazed when you do that, how you feel blessed, they feel blessed, and sometimes it's just, hey, tell me your story. And then as you start to chat, you actually realize, hey, wait a minute, these could be friends, and maybe they could be family. Invite someone. And then lastly, write this down, meals and coffees. Now, we're very good at this one. How about this? Did you know Jesus was blamed for two things. They called him the friend of sinners, which I think is amazing. It's like, yes, I want to be a friend of sinners. Without compromising, may they call us the friends of sinners. What does it look like? Jesus was probably in a bar, sitting and talking to people that others didn't want to. And they spoke about it as a dirty thing. You're a friend of sinners. God's called us to do that. But they also blamed him of being a wine bibber and a food glutton. Who knows what a glutton is? What's the Afrikaans for dit? Iemand help me. Ruan, what's the Afrikaans? A fraud. A coarse fraud. Is that right? Or just fraud? Mag ons fraude wees for Jesus. That sounds interesting. Here's why. They called him a food glutton. If they called him that, he must have enjoyed food so much that they called him a food glutton. Have you thought of that? Here's why. I think Jesus tapped into something there. And there's something about a Nicodemus. He says, I must have supper in your home tonight. There was something about Jesus when he attracted people and he had a meal with them, their hearts opened up. And they began, that person begins to see the kingdom of God through you. How about you? Have that meal. Now ask your wife or your partner, say, who are we having over this week? Quickly ask them. Fanyala wil het nie sê nie. It's like, yeah. Okay, pray about it. Don't have to answer it now. Are you you're getting the message? There are people out there, and right now you're writing names down of people in Azefontein that are not connected. You're going to start with those and some of the people here. Yo, my John, ye vra baie. Listen, we got one life. Let's give it horns. You never know who you're going to have over. You never know. All right? Is that okay? Have that meal. Now, I could go and do a little study for you and share about how when the Bible says they were together, listen to this, many of the Jews, because they were used to the Shabbat, as they became saved, listen to this, they kept on meeting one evening a week, but they just gave it a Christian twist. And that's actually where one of the phrases for the love meal came about. Is that beautiful, eh? Then I say, wait a minute, the Jews had something about Shabbat. There's something in that. And as Christians, we now have meals, except they're not just on a Friday night. It's anytime, anywhere. All right? Please fill the coffee shops in Azefontein. May they say, ja, dis weer die kerk. Hulle drink altyd koffie met snacks en mense. May they say that of us. You get the picture? All right? And here's how it starts. It starts by you being thankful. God, I'm thankful that. And when you start to get a revelation of God's love for you, watch this. Then it's not long before you now share that love with people. That's how it starts. All right? Have you got something today? Short and sweet. Look at the person next to you. Check the names that they wrote down. Check the names. All right? Hey? Connect. Sorry. Number six, connect. Meaning, connect. In other words, watch this. Let's say I don't know Bobby very well, okay? And I invite him. I say, hey, man, let's have a coffee. Oh, okay. Like he might be a bit surprised. Watch this. True connection is this. When I say, hey, man, it was so lucky to see you, man. Watch this. How's things? How's your family? How's your business going? We're going to get to church stuff. Take an interest. Connect heart to heart. Be genuine and sincere in your connection. Okay? Beautiful story about a guy called Clive. Just remember this. Clive. Say Clive. Tell the person next to you, remember Clive. There's a story. A friend of mine, he got saved many, many years ago. He was a professional musician, a pianist. His name is Clive Goodwill. And when he got saved into a small church. And the pastor immediately said to him, Clive, I want you to, at the door, greet people as they come in. He says, ooh, but I'm so shy and I'm not, put me behind an instrument, I'm fine. He said, Clive, I want you to do that. She was like, okay. After 3 months, guess who was getting all the invites for coffees and meals? Clive. So don't forget about your personality. Do what Nike said, just do it. Okay? Got that. I'm going to ask those two people who are going to share their testimonies, Rihanna and who's the other one? Rob, just to come to the front. So in our community on Wednesday night, I let the cat out the bag, which I don't always like doing because we don't know how God's going to lead. And I shared with them that I'm going to share with you about staying connected and how to equip you so that you know how to handle people if they are a little bit skeptic about becoming part of a church. And I said, who of you want to just share how it's been a blessing to be connected in a church? And we've got two. Okay, go for it.
Thanks, guys. So, like John says, my name is Robert. I'm married to Anna, and I got two boys there in the kids' church. So I just want to actually, it's amazing, because before we came here, I felt like, you know, just to ask the Lord what he wanted to share with you guys as a church through it. And John's touched on almost everything, basically, of what I, just the heart of what he, the heart of just being part of a church and the importance of being part of church. And also, I mean, even the scriptures, like, you know, like you, that, you know, it's just beautiful. So I just want to honor the Lord for that. So I think, just practically also, you know, as John was speaking, I felt like the Lord reminded me of, you know, we all eat, you know, so you're going to eat at least two, maybe three meals a day. And just the beauty of what you eat, you know, when you have somebody over for a meal, it doesn't have to look fancy. It doesn't have to be your gourmet, your grandma's gourmet, something, you know, that you eat. If you're going to have a sandwich, you can have a sandwich with somebody else. If you're going to have omelets for supper, we've done it before. We've said we're inviting somebody over and we're having omelets for supper. So if you're going to come eat with us, we want you to come eat. You're going to have omelets, you know. And it doesn't have to be glamorous. That's what I'm trying to say. Life isn't always just about the glamour. And the meal doesn't have to be about the compliments at the end of the meal or how you paired the dessert. And, you know, it's just the basics is what's important. That I think for us, for me personally at least, before we joined Josh Jane, we were part of a church group for a very long time, and we needed to find a new church because we moved, and we felt the Lord had said, this is going to be, we're going to need to find a new church. And I prayed, 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 and everyone's like, just join Josh Jane, and I'm like, I need to hear from the Lord. And I prayed, and I prayed, and about 9 months later, we were sitting in a service in Melkbos, and Hannes van der Jeffert, who's now leading in Mossel Bay, just taken over, and the service was an absolute mess. The sound didn't work. There was nothing beautiful or like, oh, you know, the Holy Spirit didn't move, and people weren't getting delivered and anything like that. But I clearly, clearly, clearly heard the Lord to say, this is where I want you to do. This is where I want you to stay. And the reason why I share that is because it's, life is messy. Life can get complicated. Life can get all these things, you know. And the people that lead the church, none of us are perfect. And the beauty in knowing that you are where God has planted you, so that you ask the Lord. And I want to say, and I want to encourage you today, if you haven't asked the Lord, Lord, is Josh Jane Azenfontein where you want me to be? Then ask him. And then do, if he says, yes, this is where you need to be, then become like a tree that gets planted out of a pot and get water and let your roots grow down and get involved super quickly. So, yeah, I think just from that point of view, just the way that I heard God say, this is where I want you to be. And then the life that's come from that, you know, there's been times when we've been challenged, people have hurt us, we've hurt each other, you know, we do things. But I want to say, like, just the way that God spoke and the way that he spoke very clearly is something that you hold on to. So it's someone here can tell you, one of the leaders can tell you, you need to join a church. But pray and ask God, God, do you want me here? And if he says yes, then throw everything into being here. If he says no, then go and share that with the guys that are leading the church and say, listen, I've asked the Lord. I felt this is what he's saying. And round it off them, bounce it off them. But I think, yeah, that's what I want to leave you with, is that the people, and when you do, you know that the people are going to love you, that the church, the guys that lead the church, they love you enough to speak the truth into your life, to do it in love, but they're doing it because, yeah, I mean, they, just as a testimony, John, like, I know he prays for me. I know it. He doesn't say to me he prays for me. I know he prays for me because I know his character, I know his heart. And I've seen the change in my own life because he's been praying for me. And that is, when you have people in a church where they love you enough to pray for you, I'm sure he shed tears for me and for my wife and for our marriage and for our children and for the church, the people around us in our community. And I can't think of anything better than that. You know, you have people that love you. And that's just, yeah, I just want to leave you with that.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, that's awesome, Rob. Also, Rob, it was his birthday on Friday, and mine too. So the two birthday twins are sharing this morning, which is nogal cool, I think. Anyway, I feel horrible standing here. I feel nauseous and stuff. So I'm not. Yeah, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Anyway, so when John asked me to share, I thought long, you know, there's so much to say, but what does God want me to say? So now for 2 days I've slept very badly and whatever, and I just didn't hear what it is that I had to say. So I arrived here this morning and I'm feeling, I feel slag, man, I feel sick. And as I got sitting on the chair there, I just felt that download, like, yes, I know. And I made a few notes. So John was preaching about connection, and that's so awesome because that's exactly what I felt and what, obviously, I'm married to Chris there, and we've got a son who's asleep, Evan, and we've got a lawn on Kids Church. But connection was so important for us when we joined Josh Jen. Everybody was welcoming, they took an interest, and usually when people are so friendly, I'm like, yo, kweet nie so mooi nie, dis bietjie. There's an expectation that comes with that connection for me usually, and I struggle with commitment in that sense because I'm like, ons is nie regtig vriende nie, and I don't wanna open my heart too soon. That's like what always kept me back. But anyway, you guys pursued us and eventually you won our hearts. But it came through that connection and being sincere, taking an interest. Simple things like when I was sick in the winter, there were a few ladies that brought me meals so that I didn't have to make anything. So that stirred my heart. That was like really, I mean, at the end of the day, you're doing life together. So people get sick, people are happy, people are sad, and just to be with them whenever and regardless of what their experience. So what I just sensed the Lord download to me this morning is that I have to say that from the connection flows covenant and commitment. Us committing to the church and making covenant with the church and the church members. And once you've made covenant and once you've made that commitment, then there comes correction. Correction of your character, correction of relationships. My and Chris's marriage that's being restored and stuff that we're busy working on. That wouldn't have happened had the connection not been there in the beginning. And after the correction and the refinement of your character and, you know, the consecration of your heart and all those things, then comes commission, where you're actually now a full-bodied person. You're functioning, you belong, you're in a family. Now you can actually go, and exactly like John said, you can now go and make disciples of other people. So those are the, if I can call it the four C's that I just felt the Lord gave me this morning, and that is that connection leads to covenant, leads to correction, and that leads to commission. But it all starts with connection first. So, yeah.
Thanks, Rihanna. All right. Well, I hope you've got something. Yeah.